quantities and quantum quantities of blessings you can only be a receptor to by virtue of your connectivity to a father. A friend of mine quite said, because I have a papa, I shall be pampered. And Ghana is blessed, Africa is blessed to have these lucrative, powerful, potent men of God in this land. And I want us all to stand to our feet. Africa, we must learn to celebrate our heroes and not to tolerate them. And tonight, I didn't come to do anything extraordinary and strange to what he has been doing here. I just came to take out a portion of the bakery to share with you. Hallelujah. And I came to celebrate this father, this papa of this land. And I want us to put our hands together, appreciate God's servant, Bishop. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. And the most beautiful, exquisite, exotic, splendiferous, magnanimous of mommy in the whole world. Hallelujah. Let's appreciate our first lady. Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. I came here with my honorable, humble wife. Praise the Lord. Let's appreciate the presence of Reverend Mrs. Naomi Afresa Taylor. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, get ready. Or shake your neighbor and say, get ready. Tonight, I'll be speaking to you in 15 minutes and 15 seconds. As I preach and you feel like jumping, you can jump. As I preach and you feel like running, you can run. You feel like coming to grab Bishop, just feel free. Hallelujah. I want us to have a very radical service tonight. Are you alive? Let's go into the book of Philemon. The author of the book of Philemon was Apostle Paul, the theocratic man who relied absolutely was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is my own bowels. Are you there? Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willing. Take notice of the central thematic imprint here. For perhaps he departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or owed thee, put that on my account. Praise the Lord. Is it a bit confusing? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lift your right hand, let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, we exalt you, we exalt you. We sublimate, we magnify, we macrograph your holy name. We thank you for your infallibility, your sovereignty, your creativity, and the presence of your spirit among your people. Lord, you know I'm not much, I cannot do much, and I don't have much. But I pray that you will grant me clarity of speech and precision of tongue, that I will embellish, articulate, and enunciate your word in a profound and a prolific way. Use me as a kingdom oracle to manifest only your will. Cause me to decrease that you will increase tonight. I submit my intent into you. I decree and declare that let the cosmos kratopass in this area, the principality of Teshinungwa, be subdued under your feet. I bind every forces of darkness, every witchcraft manifestations, the spirit of the Muti, every Sangoma power, every Obiaman, every younger spirit, we bind and forfeit your maneuverings. In the name of Jesus, we declare, O God, let the Mazaros, the Zodiac, and the Pleiades be subjected under your feet. Have your way tonight, and let all my sisters and brothers be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to share with you a message which I have entitled, Broken But Not Destroyed. Basically, we're going to deal with the concept of elevation. As a historical incident preacher, I normally take my listeners into a didactic, pedantic, pedagogic teaching narrative. I'm going to take 10 minutes of your time to lay my foundational substructure. Ladies and gentlemen, our God is a God of dimensions. He's a God of dispensational eras. So long as God is a timeless God, he is a God of time factor. He is a limitless God. Our God is a God who is unreachable. He is a God that is unpredictable. When God moves from eternity into time, from Genesis up until Revelation, you find out that God is a God of dispensations, and to every dispensation and what God does. Are you alive tonight? He's a God of time and season, and to every season and what God does. That's why when you're a Christian, you must be a pneumatical inclined Christian. That means you must be inclined spiritually. destroyed. And at that moment, it was the angelic beings that had jurisdictory influence in the troposphere of the spirituality. Are you here tonight? Now, from the chaos to the restored earth. Touch your neighbor and say, follow the apostle tonight. From the chaos to the restored earth. That period when God restituted and restored the true and the genuine nature of the cosmos, that period was called the dispensation of recreation. When the devil messed up the entire morphology, when the devil messed up the order and the structure of creation, the Bible said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Before God will speak, his spirit must first move. Are you here tonight? I'll be preaching in a second, but you must move with me. Before God can speak a word in your life, his spirit must move in your entire pocketitude. God cannot speak until his spirit moves. So the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. I don't know whom I came to speak to tonight, but I know that tomorrow by this time, the Spirit of God will move in your life. And it will place an eternal demand over the voice of God over your life. I'm going somewhere. I feel something pushing me already. Now, from the recreation to the fall of man. That is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, downwards up until the 11th verse. From when God restituted the true identity, the true nature of the earth, up until when the Edenic covenant was being forfeited and faltered, when man rebelled against the sovereignty of God, when iniquity entered into the crevices of man, that period, that dispensation, that moment was called the dispensation of innocence. Are you following me tonight? Man was in absolute innocence. We had no full cycle of what it means to falter, to sin, to transgress, or to walk in lawlessness. Are you alive tonight? And you must understand that God moves in dispensational order. Now, from the fall of man to the time of the Noahic flood, from the fall of man, from the time Adam and Eve fell to the grace of God, from that moment, from that era, from that time up until God brought the flood in Genesis chapter 7, that period was called the dispensation of conscience. Touch them and say, follow the apostle tonight. Man became conscious of our being. Man became conscious of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Men that were in absolute innocence, now sin brought self-consciousness. And that is when man began to know that we were naked. Touch enemy is broken but not destroyed. Now, from the time of the flood up until the call of Abraham, that period in Genesis chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, when God brought the flood, up until God called the Abrahamic covenant, that period, that time, that era, that moment, that dispensation was called the dispensation of human government, where politics began to and evolve in the time of the dealings of Abraham. That was when political ordinances, religious statutes, and commandment and judgment began to be postulated and stipulated. Are you alive tonight? God sent me to come and tell you that you are about to hit your time and your season. I'm going somewhere. I'll be preaching in a second. Now, from the call of Abraham, from the time God called Abraham to the time of the Exodus from Egypt, from Genesis chapter 11, up until the Exodus from Egypt, that period was called the dispensation of promise. So we have the dispensation of angels, we have the dispensation of innocence, we have the dispensation of conscience, we have the dispensation of human government, and we have the dispensation of promise. It was the time that God said to Abraham, I will make your descendant like the sand. I will make your descendant like the star of the earth. I will bless you and I will make your name great. God gave so much of promises. If you look at the Mosaic covenant, God said to the people of Israel that I will bring you out from the Egyptian bondage. That period, that time, that era was called the dispensation of promise. Are you following me tonight? I'll be preaching in a second. Now, from the Exodus from Egypt till the time of the preaching of John the Baptist, the time when God brought the people of God from Egypt, up until the time where John the Baptist came up as the voice preparing the way for Jesus. That time, that period, that dispensation, that era, that season was called the dispensation of law. God gave a lot of laws, bylaws, statutes, commandment to the people of God. If you read Deuteronomy and you read the book of Numbers, you find an overview of what God says. He said, if thou will obey me, I'm going to bless you. If thou will go against me, then you are going to face the consequence and the repercussion. Now, from the time of the preaching of John the Baptist up until the second coming of Christ, are you here tonight? From the time of John the Baptist up until the second coming of Christ, in systematic theology, Berosus, who was from an Aristotelian, Socraterian perspective man, said this dispensation is called the dispensation of grace, the second advent of Christ. Jesus has not appeared in the clouds of glory yet. That means you and me, we find ourselves in this time and dispensation. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight I came to boost your consciousness. I came to energize you. I came as a prophetic catalyst to quicken a virus of greatness in you. I came to speak to Ghana that the reason why the devil and his mother-in-law are combating and countering against our progress and our prowess is because the devil has seen that we are in a favorable time and a season. This dispensation is called the dispensation of grace. Ladies and gentlemen, day to day, in and out, the devil comes in against your finance. He comes in against your money. He comes in against your marriage. He comes in against reason why the witches and the cosmos no crotopas, the necromancers do not like you, is because they have seen that you are in a favorable dispensation. You didn't hear what I said. But I came to announce unto the children of God that it doesn't matter what the devil and his mother-in-law does against you. Ghana will arise and take it glory. Touch your name and say, I could be broken, but not destroyed. I will be preaching in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, looking at the dispensation of law, the test was to observe, to do about 2,713 commandments. Failure to comply brought instant repercussion and instant judgment. If you study the Mosaic Covenant, anyone who sinned against God received an instant repercussion. A woman from the same lineage and bloodline of Moses spoke against his own brother, and because she found herself in the dispensation of law, the Bible says by an instantaneous phenomenal move, God brought leprosy over her. When the people of God spoke against the servant Moses, the Bible said the womb of the earth opened up and swallowed some of them. That was the dispensation of the law. But you must understand that the virtues of God are higher than the laws of God. Can I say it again? The virtues of God are higher than the laws of God. What is the number one virtue of God? The number one virtue of God is named as love. The spontaneous, the infallible, the unconditional, the perfect love of God. If not for the love of God, you and I, Bishop Afote and his leaders, will not be here today. Are you here tonight? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his most treasured asset, his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him, can I preach here tonight, would not perish but have everlasting life. In our world of sociological principles, we are connected to what we call philia. Some are connected to what we call eros. But what I'm talking about is the infinite love of God, which is called the agape, the spontaneous love of God. The second leverage virtue of God is called mercy. And it talks about being exempted from judgment. I said to you, the virtues of God are higher than the laws of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if not for God's exemptions over our lives, if not for the mercy of God, you will not be here today. Some of us, day by day, we backslide. Day by day, we falter against the principles of God. Day by day, we become frail and feeble. Day by day, we begin to forfeit the statutes of God. Some of us, you know very well that if not for the mercy of God, the witches and the wizards in your family would have taken you up alive by now. But for God's mercy, even when you don't deserve to be merciful, God was still merciful over your life. Touch your name and say, broken but not destroyed. The third level virtue of God is called long suffering. Long suffering means, it enunciates, depicts an overview of God bearing your problems. your unpleasant nature with patience. Our God is a long-suffering God. That is why sometimes you go against the church doctrine, but still you come to church and you are allowed to praise and worship. God has been bearing our consistency. God has been bearing our sins. He has been bearing our unfaithfulness. He has been bearing our awkwardness. Sometimes we look at how cumbersome our life is. But Elohim has been bearing our unpleasant nature with patience. Oh, the highest level virtue of God, which I want to talk about tonight, it's called grace. Grace means unmerited favor. You don't merit it. You don't qualify it. You don't deserve it. But God looks at your feebleness. He looks at your limitations and says, I have given you a breakthrough even when you don't deserve it. Our God is a gracious God, and that is the highest virtue of God. That means Ghana, that means Africa. We are in a twistic season. We find ourselves in a dispensation called grace. At the same time, we find ourselves worshiping a theocratic ruler whose highest virtue is called grace. Oh my God, my Father, I came to make a public announcement unto all my colleagues, my contemporaries, and my companions here that God has set a favorable season for you. And whether the demons in your family likes it or not, in 2012, you are moving forward. Ghana will not die. Ghana will not repatriate. Ghana will not fall. So long as the grace of God endures, nothing of the enemy will counterattack, abort, halt, and demobilize, disengage, and decapitate the flow of your destiny. I came to tell somebody here today that if not for the grace of God, where would you have been tonight? When you go to bed, the demons, they rise up against you and they say, kill Afote, kill Kojomensa, kill Taylor, kill Daniel. When you are asleep, sometimes it's not about your seed, it's not about your prayer, it's not about your church coming, it's not about your consistency, it's all about the grace of God. Touching him and say, broken, but not destroyed. I'll be preaching in a second. I feel something pushing me now. So this brings me to the central thematic imprint tonight. The Bible said there was a young man called Onesimus. Ladies and gentlemen, this young man found himself in servitude. This young man was a slave. When you are a slave, you have no franchise. A slave has no fundamental human right. A slave cannot determine what you want from your captor. A slave has no privilege and has no right. A slave doesn't have freedom to liberty, freedom to voting, freedom of walking about. A slave has an underdeveloped humanity. A slave has no legitimacy. When you are a slave, what your master tells you to do is what you do. Can I talk to some real people here? So the Bible says the momentum began to build, that this young man became fed up and said, I have been a slave to my master Philemon for too long a time. Philemon had his wife to be Apphia, and he had a son to be called Archippus. And Philemon lived in a land called Colos. Oh my God, I feel fire coming into this room. And Philemon Philemon was a businessman. Philemon was a son to Apostle Paul. And this young man called Onesimus, according to Hitchcock, a Greek theologian, Hitchcock said, Onesimus means youthful. A Greek philosopher also said, who was Socrates, both Socrates and Aristotle, said the name Onesimus meant profitable, but this young man was a slave. That means if you look at his entire morphology, entire physiology, if you look into his genetic blueprint, his entire stereotype, you realize that in the crevices of his persona was greatness in him, but was still a slave. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you can look at yourself and you can have the understanding that within me is the capacity, within me is the condiment of greatness, within me is some anointing, within me is the zeal of God, but still, in my exterior environment, things are working against me. That was the life of this young man. He was profitable. Philosophers, anthropologists, Greek etymologists described, enunciated, explained that this young man was useful, but was a slave. Can I preach here tonight? So the Bible said this young man got fed up and said to himself, I cannot afford to lose my inside greatness. So I don't care what happens to me. If I die, let me die. But I will steal from my master and run away to wherever I can be. The Bible says this young man stole. Bishop, he stole gold. According to the historical inferences that I made, philosophically, I was able to calculate and estimate in dollars what he stole. And I found out that he stole $1.3 million worth of gold. He ran from Colossus to Rome. Ladies and gentlemen, in those Roman days, can I talk to you for two more minutes? When you are a slave, they inscribe a sign on your forehead. And anyone that saw you could notify that you were a slave because of the mark on your face. That means when you are a slave, you cannot hide. Until you cut your head, everyone will notify that you are a slave. Touch your name and say, broken but not destroyed. So the Bible said this young man stole and got to Rome because he had the mark of the beast on his forehead. The Roman soldiers, they apprehended him and they said, you are a bad boy. You have run and fled from your master. So we're going to put you in a cell and we are going to trace your root cause. And when we discover who your master is, we will take you back to your master. Ladies and gentlemen, philosophically, I began to discover the cells in the Roman Empire. If you go to one prison, there were 148 cells in one prison. By an instantaneous prophetic move, Apostle Paul at that time was also apprehended and he was put in the eighth cell. A Greek Hellenist, an ancient writer who was called Goethe. Goethe was a German philosopher. He said he wonders why this young man was not placed in any ordinary cell. Berosius, who was a Greek philosopher, also said when they caught this young man, they could have put him in any ordinary cell among the 148 cells. Why did they put him in a particular cell? Ladies and gentlemen, when I began to build my substratum, I made you to understand that our God is a God of seasons and timings. Our God is a God of dispensations. Our God is a God of dimensions. When they caught this young man in Rome, do you know what happened? They placed him on the 8th cell among the 148 cell. In that same cell was Apostle Paul. Can I preach here tonight? Can I preach here tonight? That suggests that God is not a God who does mistakes. Everything you go through is not by mistake. So if you see that I am suffering today, don't look at my today, my present situation, and condemn me. Oh yes, I stole. Oh yes, I sinned. But it is not by mistake that they put me in the same cell. Can I preach here tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, God sent me to come and tell you that whatsoever you are going through is not by mistake. The devil and his mother-in-law, they can mess up your family. They can mess up your finance. They can mess up your marriage. But let me tell you something. It is in a mess that you find a message. Can I push it? It is in a trial that you find triumph. It is in a test that you find a testimony. It is in the pain that you find your gain. It is in a shame that you get fame. It is in a disgrace that you attribute. You become a kingdom qualifier, a kingdom qualitative candidate of the grace of God. They put him in the 8th cell. One is the number of unity. Two is the number of union. Three is the number of divinity. Four is the number of the world. Five is the number of grace. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of perfection and rest. But eight is the number of new beginnings. I stole. I sinned against God. Why didn't they take me to the first cell? Why didn't they take me to the 20th cell? But they put me in the 8th cell, which means I'm about to receive grace for you. Can I preach here? They put this young man in the cell, but God was part with him. He stole. He was in sin. He had fought against God. He had rebelled against his master. But still, God was part of him. Oh, devil, don't look at my yesterday and condemn my today. It doesn't matter what I went through. Oh, maybe I sinned against my God. But it doesn't mean that the eyes of God has been taken away from me. Oh, my God. Can I preach here tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, the whole of Africa, people are talking about the death of our president because it is historic. This thing has never happened before. But you must understand, anytime people say this thing has never happened before, you must know that there can also be a blessing that has never happened before. Ladies and gentlemen, you say to yourself, I never used to be like this. You say to yourself, I never used to suffer like this. Where is this calamity coming from? Where is this problem coming from? Where is this blessing coming from? Where is this mess coming from? I came to tell you, the
same God that allowed the negative to happen to you is the same God that will allow the positive to happen to you. Can I preach to you, ladies and gentlemen? So in the prison, this young man met Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul began to talk to him. Apostle Paul said, hey, I understand that you are a slave. I know that you sin, but you must understand that your boss is my son, and it's not by mistake that you are put in the prison. Can I preach to you, ladies and gentlemen? It was in the prison that Onesimus found God. Oh my God. Crisis is the premium and the platform for the revelatory insight of the knowledge of God. Crisis is growth classes. It is in crisis that you find God. It is in agony that you find the true nature of God. You will never meet God in church. You will only meet God in your situation. A Greek man, his name is Berosus, and Berosus said, it is revelation by experience. With the Greek says order, revelation by experience. It is in your situation that you find a revelation of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't go through, you cannot break through. Some of you are complaining that, God, why am I going through the fire? And God is sitting in heaven laughing. He says, hey, my daughter, you say you want a breakthrough. Only way you can have breakthrough is for you to go through. Ladies and gentlemen, so in the prison, can I preach here, Bishop? Can I have the privilege to preach? Ladies and gentlemen, it was in the prison. This young man, he had no father, he had no mama, he was a slave, he had no identity, he had never taken a shower before, he had never eaten jollof rice before, he had no privilege. In the prison, Apostle Paul said to him, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth on the ways of the sinners, nor seated on the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. Hey, for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings its fruit in its season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. It was in the prison Apostle Paul began to teach him the word of God. He began to teach him that the word of but not destroyed. I will be preaching in a second. Ladies and gentlemen, looking at the dispensation of law, the test was to observe, to do about 2,713 commandments. Failure to comply brought instant repercussion and instant judgment. If you study the Mosaic Covenant, anyone who sinned against God received an instant repercussion. A woman from the same lineage and bloodline of Moses spoke against his own brother, and because she found herself in the dispensation of law, the Bible says by an instantaneous phenomenal move, God brought leprosy over her. When the people of God spoke against the servant Moses, Moses. The Bible said the womb of the earth opened up and swallowed some of them. That was the dispensation of the law. But you must understand that the virtues of God are higher than the laws of God. Can I say it again? The virtues of God are higher than the laws of God. What is the number one virtue of God? The number one virtue of God is named as love. The spontaneous, the infallible, the unconditional, the perfect love of God. If not for the love of God, you and I, Bishop Afote and his leaders, will not be here today. Are you here tonight? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his most treasured asset, his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him, can I preach here tonight, would not perish but have everlasting life. In our world of sociological principles, we are connected to what we call filio. Some are connected to what we call eros. But what I'm talking about is the infinite love of God, which is called the agape, the spontaneous love of God. The second leverage virtue of God is called mercy, and it talks about being exempted from judgment. I said to you, the virtues of God are higher than the laws of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if not for God's exemptions over our lives, if not for the mercy of God, you will not be here today. Some of us, day by day, we backslide. Day by day, we falter against the principles of God. Day by day, we become frail and feeble. Day by day, we begin to forfeit the statutes of God. Some of us, you know very well that if not for the mercy of God, the witches and the wizards in your family would have taken you up alive by now. But for God's mercy, even when you don't deserve to be merciful, God was still merciful over your life. Touch your name and say, broken but not destroyed. The third level virtue of God is called long suffering. Long suffering means, it enunciates, depicts an overview of God bearing your problems, God bearing your unpleasant nature with patience. Our God is a long-suffering God. That is why sometimes you go against the church doctrine, but still you come to church and you are allowed to praise and worship. God has been bearing our consistency. God has been bearing our sins. He has been bearing our unfaithfulness. He has been bearing our awkwardness. Sometimes we look at how cumbersome our life is, but Elohim has been bearing our unpleasant nature with patience. Oh, the highest level virtue of God, which I want to talk about tonight, is called grace. Grace means unmerited favor. You don't merit it. You don't qualify it. You don't deserve it. But God looks at your feebleness. He looks at your limitations and says, I have given you a breakthrough even when you don't deserve it. Our God is a gracious God, and that is the highest virtue of God. That means Ghana, that means Africa. We are in a twisted season. We find ourselves in a dispensation something called grace. At the same time, we find ourselves worshiping a theocratic ruler whose highest virtue is called grace. Oh my God, my Father, I came to make a public announcement unto all my colleagues, my contemporaries, and my companions here that God has set a favorable season for you. And whether the demons in your family likes it or not, in 2012, you are moving forward. Ghana will not die. Ghana will not repatriate. Ghana will not fall. So long as the grace of God endures, nothing of the enemy will counterattack, abort, halt, and demobilize, disengage, and decapitate the flow of your destiny. I came to tell somebody here today that if not for the grace of God, where would you have been tonight? When you go to bed, the demons, they rise up against you and they say, kill Afote, kill Kojomensa, kill Taylor, kill Daniel. When you are asleep, sometimes it's not about your seed. It's not about your prayer. It's not about your church coming. It's not about your consistency. It's all about the grace of God. Touching him and say, broken, but not destroyed. I'll be preaching in a second. I feel something pushing me now. So this brings me to the central thematic imprint tonight. The Bible said there was a young man called Onesimus. Ladies and gentlemen, this young man found himself in servitude. This young man was a slave. When you are a slave, you have no franchise. A slave has no fundamental human right. A slave cannot determine what you want from your captor. A slave has no privilege and has no right. A slave doesn't have freedom to liberty, freedom to voting, freedom of walking about. A slave has an underdeveloped humanity. A slave has no legitimacy. When you are a slave, what your master tells you to do is what you do. Can I talk to some real people here? So the Bible says the momentum began to build, that this young man became fed up and said, I have been a slave to my master Philemon for too long a time. Philemon had his wife to be Apphia, and he had a son to be called Archippus. And Philemon lived in a land called Colos. Oh my God, I feel fire coming into this room. And Philemon was a businessman. Philemon was a son to Apostle Paul. And this young man called Onesimus, according to Hitchcock, a Greek theologian, Hitchcock said, Onesimus means youthful. A Greek philosopher also said, who was Socrates, both Socrates and Aristotle, said the name Onesimus meant profitable. But this young man was a slave. That means if you look at his entire morphology, entire physiology, if you look into his genetic blueprint, his entire stereotype, you realize that in the crevices of his persona was greatness in him, but was still a slave. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you can look at yourself and you can have the understanding that within me is the capacity, within me is the condiment of greatness. Within me is some anointing. Within me is the zeal of God. But still, in my exterior environment, things are working against me. That was the life of this young man. He was profitable. Philosophers, anthropologists, Greek etymologists described, enunciated, explained that this young man was useful, but was a slave. Can I preach here tonight? So the Bible said this young man got fed up and said to himself, I cannot afford to lose my inside greatness. So I don't care what happens to me. If I die, let me die. But I will steal from my master and run away to wherever I can be. The Bible says this young man stole. Bishop, he stole gold. According to the historical inferences that I made, philosophically, I was able to calculate and estimate in dollars what he stole. And I found out that he stole $1.3 million worth of gold. He ran from Colossus to Rome. Ladies and gentlemen, in those Roman days, can I talk to you for two more minutes? When you are a slave, they inscribe a sign on your forehead. And anyone that saw you could notify that you were a slave because of the mark on your face. That means when you are a slave, you cannot hide. Until you cut your head, everyone will notify that you are a slave. Touch your name and say, broken but not destroyed. So the Bible said this young man stole and got to Rome because he had the mark of the beast on his forehead. The Roman soldiers, they apprehended him and they said, you are a bad boy. You have run and fled from your master. So we're going to put you in a cell and we are going to trace your root cause. And when we discover who your master is, we will take you back to your master. Ladies and gentlemen, philosophically, I began to discover the cells in the Roman Empire. If you go to one prison, there were 148 cells in one prison. By an instantaneous prophetic move, Apostle Paul, at that time, was also apprehended and he was put in the eighth cell. A Greek Hellenist, an ancient writer who was called Goethe. Goethe was a German philosopher. He said he wonders why this young man was not placed in any ordinary cell. Berosius, who was a Greek philosopher, also said when they caught this young man, they could have put him in any ordinary cell among the 148 cells. But why did they put him in a particular cell? Ladies and gentlemen, when I began to build my substratum, I made you to understand that our God is a God of seasons and timings. Our God is a God of dispensation. Our God is a God of dimensions. When they caught this young man in Rome, do you know what happened? They placed him on the eighth cell among the 148 cell. In that same cell was Apostle Paul. Can I preach here tonight? That suggests insists that God is not a God who does mistakes. Everything you go through is not by mistake. So if you see that I am suffering today, don't look at my today, my present situation, and condemn me. Oh yes, I stole. Oh yes, I sinned. But it is not by mistake that they put me in the same cell. Can I preach here tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, God sent me to come and tell you that whatsoever you are going through is not by mistake. The devil and his mother-in-law, they can mess up your family. They can mess up your finance. They can mess up your marriage. But let me tell you something. It is in a mess that you find a message. Can I push it? It is in a trial that you find triumph. It is in a test that you find a testimony. It is in a pain that you find your gain. It is in a shame that you get fame. It is in a disgrace that you attribute. You become a kingdom qualifier, a kingdom qualitative candidate. Of the grace of God. They put him in the eighth cell. One is the number of unity. Two is the number of union. Three is the number of divinity. Four is the number of the world. Five is the number of grace. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of perfection and rest. But eight is the number of new beginnings. I stole. I sinned against God. Why didn't they take me to the first cell? Why didn't they take me to the 20th cell? But they put me in the 8th cell, which means I'm about to receive grace for new. Can I preach here? They put this young man in the cell, but God was part with him. He stole. He was in sin. He had fought against God. He had rebelled against his master. But still God was part of him. Oh devil, don't look at my yesterday and condemn my today. It doesn't matter what I went through. Oh, maybe I sinned against my God. But it doesn't mean that the eyes of God has been taken away from me. Oh my God. Can I preach here tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, the whole of Africa, people are talking about the death of our president because it is historic. This thing has never happened before. But you must understand, anytime people say this thing has never happened before, you must know that there can also be a blessing that has never happened before. Ladies and gentlemen, you say to yourself, I never used to be like this. You say to yourself, I never used to suffer like this. Where is this calamity coming from? Where is this problems coming from? Where is this blessing coming from? Where is this mess coming from? I came to tell you, the same God that allowed the negative to happen to you is the same God that will allow the positive to happen to you. Can I preach to you? Ladies and gentlemen, so in the prison, this young man met Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul began to talk to him. Apostle Paul said, hey, I understand that you are a slave. I know that you sin. But you must understand that your boss is my son. And it's not by mistake that you are put in the prison. Can I preach to you? Ladies and gentlemen, it was in the prison that Onesimus found God. Oh my God. Crisis is the premium and the platform for the revelatory insight of the knowledge of God. Crisis is growth classes. It is in crisis that you find God. It is in agony that you find the true nature of God. You will never meet God in church. You will only meet God in your situations. A Greek man, his name is Berosus, and Berosus said, it is revelation by experience. With the Greek says order, revelation by experience. It is in your situation that you find a revelation of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't go through, you cannot break through. Some of you are complaining that God, why am I going through the fire? And God is sitting in heaven laughing. He says, hey, my daughter, you say you want a breakthrough. Only way you can have breakthrough is for you to go through. Ladies and gentlemen, so in the prison, can I preach here, Bishop? Can I have the privilege to preach? Ladies and gentlemen, it was in the prison. This young man, he had no father, he had no mama, he was a slave, he had no identity, he had never taken a shower before, he had never eaten jollof rice before, he had no privilege. In the prison, Apostle Paul said to him, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth on the ways of the sinners, nor sitteth on the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. Hey, for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings eat food in this season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. It was in the prison Apostle Paul began to teach him the word of God. He began to teach him that the word of God is a light unto your path and a lamp unto your ways. Ladies and gentlemen, from day one, he began to teach him. From day two, he began to teach him. From day three, he began to teach him. Up until the day eight. Are you here today? They put me in the eighth cell, and on the eighth day, which means new beginning, the Roman fathers came unto his cell and they said, Onesimus, now we have found your master. We are taking you back to your master. And Apostle Paul took a pen and a paper and began to read and began to write. The scripture we read, Apostle Paul said, hey, Onesimus, you came into the prison as a slave, but you must understand, you are not living as a slave, but you are living as a transformed man. As you go back unto your master, I came to tell you, we don't serve a dead God, we serve a living God. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, he's the same forever. If God be for you, who can be against you? When God says yes, no man can say no. When God says no, no man can say yes. When God opens a door, no man can shut. And when God shut a door, no man can open. If he did it yesterday, he is the same today. He is the same forever. I came to tell you, it doesn't matter What happened to you? I don't care about your past. All that I know is today is your season. It's your moment. It's your hour. It's your time of divine elevation. Apostle Paul said, you came in empty, but you are leaving the prison with some power. You are leaving the prison with some anointing. I came to say to you, tomorrow by this time, the God of Apote will change your life. The God of Apote will open a door for you. So the Bible says, this young man carried this letter and got to Colos. He came to Colos, not as a slave, but he came to Colos as a new man. I came to tell you, by the time you leave this place, you are not going ordinary. You are not living the same, but you are going to live with some fresh anointing. We are going to live with some fresh power. Somebody here today, I see the power of God is coming upon you. I see the fire of God is coming upon you. The Bible says, when this young man left, he said to himself, am I still the same person? He said to himself, I am a slave, but I met God in time of my crisis. And he said to himself, if it was not the Lord who was on my side, now may Israel say, if it was not God who was on my side, where will I have been? Touch your neighbor and say, I was broken but not destroyed. He said, when men rose up against you, they will have swallowed you up alive. When their wrath was kindled against you, then the waters will have overwhelmed you. Then the proud waters will have gone over your soul. But blessed be the name of God, who did not give your soul like a bread to the active, but your soul has escaped from the snare of the fowler. I came to tell you, the Bible says, when this young man got to Colossus, they couldn't recognize him. He left as a snare, but they couldn't recognize him, because the power of God, the grace of God, the anointing of God had capacitated him. I came to tell you, tomorrow by this time, your enemies, they will not recognize you. The anointing of God is coming upon you. The power of God is coming upon you. So the Bible says, oh, I feel like preaching here. The Bible says, when he got there, he had something in his hand. Ladies and gentlemen, God gave him an evidence. Philemon would not have believed him until he read the letter. I came to tell you, tomorrow about this time, God will give you an evidence. And your evidence will be your new house. Your evidence will be your new car. Your evidence will be your money. And the Bible says, oh my God, are you here tonight? Somebody here today, when he opened the letter, the Bible says, Paul said, hey Philemon, I know Onesimus ran away. I know Onesimus stole. I know Onesimus, he used to be unprofitable. I know Onesimus, he took your money. I know Onesimus, by legal standard you are supposed to kill him, But let me tell you, he departed for a season, that he will come back forever. No longer a slave, but a brother. For though he used to be unprofitable, now he's going to be profitable. I came to tell you, in the next 24 hours, we serve a living God. He will change your story. He will change your life. God will promote you. Everybody told, this boy will not be anything. Everybody told, this boy will never prosper. That is why David said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? For the kings of this earth have set themselves against the Lord and against his righteous. Say, let us break their bands in asunder and cast away their cord from us. But he that sitteth in the heavens, he shall love and destroy your enemies. I came to tell you, tomorrow by this time, you will laugh again. You will smile again. You will prosper again. I left home as a papa. I left home as a papa. I left home as a beggar. I left home as a poor. But when I met Jesus, when I met Afote, when I met the bishop, the God of Afote transformed my life. I came to tell you, tomorrow by this time, the God of Onesimus, he will do it for you. He will prosper you. He will elevate you. I came to say to you, it doesn't matter what happened to you. It doesn't matter what you went through. It doesn't matter what you did. What is written about you is greater than what has happened to you. What is written about you is greater than what you went through. Somebody here today, the power of God, the God of elevation, is about to save you. Ghana can be broken today, but the further it is broken, it doesn't mean it is destroyed. We serve a God who can mend our brokenness. We serve a God who can fill our emptiness. I came to prophesy unto 21 people. Tomorrow by this time, God will mend your life. Tomorrow by this time, God will transform your destiny. Your marriage is on the way. Your miracle is on the way. Your blessing is on the way. Philemon said unto Onesimus, tell me what happened to you. What happened to you? Onesimus said, hey Philemon, have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, for there is no section of his understanding, for yea, he giveth power to them that has lost might. He said, yea, the youth will utterly fall, and the young men will lose strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Onesimus said, in the prison, I waited on God, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me out of the horrible pain. He brought me out of the merry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock to stay. Onesimus said, it was in the prison I dwelt in God. That is why David said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely. Your right hand, they shall not come near you. Only with your eyes you shall behold and see the end of the wicked. I came to prophesy unto somebody here, you will not die. Somebody here, you will not die. Somebody here, you will not fall. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Who said you cannot make it? Who said you will not marry? Who said you will not travel? Who said you will not struggle? Who said you will not have your baby? I came to tell you, that devil is a bastard. He doesn't have a father. You have a father. His name is Jesus. When he speaks, the mountains fall. Jesus, when he speaks, I don't care what happened to you. I came to say to you, you can't be broken today, but you are not destroyed. You fell yesterday. But the Bible says the righteous man shall fall 7 times, but he shall rise. The righteous man shall sit in darkness, but the Lord will be a light unto him. I came to tell you, your promotion is on the way. Your blessing is on the way. Your power is on the way. Your victory is on the way. Your marriage is on the way. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says for promotion coming up from the east, no promotion coming from the west, but promotion coming from God is the same yesterday, is the same today, is the same forever. Receive your money. Receive your power. Receive your grace. I came to tell you, tomorrow by this time, the God of Afote, He will give you your blessing. The God of Afote, He will lift you up. The God of Afote, He will give you your money. The God of Afote, He will do it for you. I don't care what happened to you. All that I know is better is the end of a thing than the beginning. For your beginning might be small, but your latter shall increase. Receive your miracle. Receive your power. Receive your grace. Somebody here, you are coming out. Somebody here, you are walking out. Somebody here, you will not die. You are coming out from every captivity. You are coming out from every bondage. Somebody here is going up in this fasting. God, receive. your victory. Receive your elevation. Receive your money. 21 people. Tomorrow in the morning, you shall receive a miracle phone call. They will tell you, you are pregnant. They will tell you, your husband is coming home. They will tell you, your money has been restored. They will tell you, your blessing has come back. Say yes. Say yes. Say yeah. Say yes. Touch your neighbor. Go to three people and tell somebody, I'm going back home. Go to three people and tell somebody, I'm going back home. Tell somebody. Go to seven people and say, I was broken, but I'm not destroyed. I am broken, but not destroyed. I left this town as a slave, but I'm going back home. I'm coming back with power. I'm coming back with victory. I'm coming back with glory. I came to announce unto you, you left home. You left home. You left home as a beggar. You left home empty. You left home as a nobody. But as you go back home, the anointing of God is coming upon you. The power of God is coming upon you. Can I talk to you? John Dramani, yesterday in the morning, when he woke up as a vice president. He didn't know that in the evening, he will be a president. I came to tell you, the God of Dramani, he will do it for you. He woke up as a vice. Now he's a hero. I don't care what happened. Your promotion is coming. Your blessing is coming. You will not die. But you shall live. You shall live. Fletcher, you shall live. You shall. I don't care what happened to you. We serve a living God. We serve a dangerous God. The God of Duncan Williams. The God of Ampia Coffee. The God of Eastwood Annaba. The God of Afote. He will do it for you. He will do it for you. Receive your own miracle. Receive your own power. Receive your own grace. Somebody here today, you have been crawling in life, but you are about to walk. You have been crawling, but you are about to walk. Somebody here today, you have been walking in life, but you are about to trot. Somebody here today, you have been trotting in life, but you are about to run. Somebody here today, you have been running in life, but you are about to fly. Begin to fly. 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 Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Touch your neighbor. I'm alive. Touch your neighbor. I didn't die in Rome. I didn't die in the prison. I'm still alive. I came to tell you there are some people in your family. They thought you were going to die. They thought that accident was going to kill you. They thought that divorce was going to destroy you. They thought that prison was going to destroy you. But I came to tell all the demons in Teshi, I'm still here. I didn't die. I'm still here. I didn't collapse. I'm still here. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, say to your neighbor, I'm still better than you. They thought I was a slave, but I'm still better than you. They thought I would not make it, but I'm still. Jump. Give God a shot. Say hey. Say hey. Say hey. Touch your neighbor and say hey. Ayaya. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hebrew word ayaya means I'm still alive. Onesimus, ayaya. I didn't die, but I'm still alive. I didn't break down, but I'm still alive. Touch your neighbor. Shout ayaya. Shout ayaya. Shout ayaya. I'm still. Receive it. 1 million Ghana City. I give to you. I came here all the way from Denmark as a destiny helper to 100 of you. Tomorrow by this time, I give you 100,000 Ghana City. I give you your marriage. I give you your miracle. Receive it now. Take it. Yeah. Shout, yeah, your miracle will come to you. If you can shout, yeah, your money will come to you. If you can shout, yeah, that blessing will come to you. If you can shout, yeah, that baby will come to you. If you can shout, yeah, shout. yeah. Onesimus, what happened to you? I was broken, but never destroyed. I was cracked. You looked at my nakedness. That was the crack. But it was never destroyed. When a building cracks, they have what we call a filler. And the filler is the grace of God. The grace of God became the filler. And said, men said you were broken. But it was just a crack. You will never be destroyed. Receive divine grace. Receive divine grace. Receive divine grace. Grace for your money. Grace for your marriage. Grace for your elevation. Grace! Bishop, Paul said, if he owed thee anything, put it on my account. Paul said, he said, Philemon, this young man, if he owed thee anything, put it on my account. Ha! There are certain accounts. If you don't have one Ghana city, if you don't have 200 Ghana city, they will not allow you to open. Stomach account, Fidelity account, Barclays account. If you don't have money, you will not be allowed to open. But I came to tell you, there is a greater account called the grace account. You don't need anything. The blood of Jesus has automatically given you access to that account. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive grace. Take it now. Lucas, Demas, Epaphras, Aristarchus were all in the prison with Paul. But Onesimus was the only one that came out of the prison. I don't care. You can be in a car of 20 people. Everybody will die. But you, can I talk to you? You will come out alive. Closing with this. You didn't hear what I said. When Paul wrote the letter to Philemon, he said, I send you greetings from my fellow prisoners, Epaphras, Lucas, Demas, and Aristarchus, all in the prison, but only Onesimus came out. Who said poverty has killed all your family members? So you cannot afford to be rich. Who said in your marriage, nobody in your family had kids, so you also be barren? The fact that anybody has not traveled in your family doesn't mean you will not travel. The fact that nobody has a car in your family doesn't mean you cannot buy your own car. The God of Maranatha Power Mission, the salvation God, he will do it for you. He will do it for you. Say yes. Yes. Lift your hands. Say broken, but not destroyed. Yes, Ghana. We are broken now, but we are not destroyed. Ghana is mourning, but weeping, weeping, weep, 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 weeping, weeping. May just endure for a night, but it's coming in the morning. Tomorrow morning, you will see your blessing. You will see your blessing. We got back home. The church people in Philemon House saluted him. They welcomed him. And they said, "You are welcome back, dear brother. No longer a slave, but a brother." That is the power of grace. Saint, you will never fail. It doesn't matter what happened to you. When God wants to bless a man, God is not a God of referendum. He doesn't consult your past to determine your future. He will do it because the virtues of God are higher